welcome everyone to T.S. Wright Speaks. And of course, I'm your host, T.S. Wright. So glad to have you guys with us today. And we're going to dive right into Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And in Psalm 119, all right, we're going to start with verse 9. It's divided into sections. Beth is where we're going to start, and that's the only one we're going to read. But that is going to be verse 9 through 16. Verse 9 through 16 in Psalm 119. Here we go. How can a man keep his way pure? With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I proclaim all the judgments of your mouth. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So this is a powerful illustration of the word of God, its impact on us. We need to hide his word in our hearts. All right. We keep our way pure by living in the word, by knowing the word. We don't stray away from the commandments because we continue to embrace his word with our heart, and we filter our minds with his word, which I want to dive into today. So I have a question for all of you. What do you constantly fill your mind with? What are the things that occupy your thinking? Is it God's word? Is it trusting in him? Is it your faith in him? Or is it your job? Is it your family? Is it your circumstances? Is it just the things that go on around the world? I want you to think about something. And Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says, no man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit or worthy of the kingdom of God. You could use either word. And it's basically the cost of following him. But here's the thing. Once we put his word in our heart and we've received him, if we start turning to other things, are we walking in a way to be fit for the kingdom of God and for him to use us? I will tell you that the number one thing that the Lord does when I feel him speaking to me is he puts his word in my heart. He may give me other things and he may direct me. The Holy Spirit directs me in different ways as to how to handle circumstance situations. But I will tell you the number one thing he does is he puts his word in my heart. He'll lead me to where he wants me to read. Matter of fact, today, I was actually thinking about talking about a different psalm, Psalm 20, but he led me to Psalm 119 and wanted me to speak on this part right here. So he totally led me to speak on this. You see, the word of God is beyond everything else. It is like it is sharper than a double-edged sword. We can use it for correction, for training, for bringing other people up, for correcting, and all the things that lead us to connect with the Lord. We use it for discipleship. We use it for every aspect of our lives. The Word of God is active and it is living, and we need to adhere to it. All right, so the Word of God. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 1. I'm going to show you the impact and the power of the Word of God. Here we go. Now, this is about the temptation of Jesus, and you can also find this in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and Mark 1, 12 and 13. But we're going to go with Luke 4, starting with verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Say he was already led by the Spirit. Spirit's leading him to walk into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they had ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. But Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Then the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instance all the kingdoms in the world. I will give you authority over all these kingdoms and all their glory, he said. For it has been relinquished to me, and I can give it to anyone I wish. See if you worship me, and it will all be yours. But Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil led him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. It is written, for it is written, and this is the devil speaking, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. But Jesus answered, it also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every temptation, he left him until an opportune time. So here's the thing. Jesus is quoting the book of Deuteronomy. That's right. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. All right. And in Luke, it just says man shall not live on bread alone. If we go over to Matthew, all right, it says man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So, knowing that, where do we find that? Well, we go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. That's right. So there you go. There's one. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Guess what? That's Deuteronomy 6:13. And then Satan himself uses the word of God, at least a part of it, and he twists it, though. And we have to always remember, Satan loves the 98-2. 98% truth, 2% lie. That 2% lie takes you away from God. You got to watch Satan because he is a deceiver and he is a liar. Call him out for what he is. Matter of fact, just go to John 3. Go down to about verse 19 and start reading and you'll see it. And Jesus just tells Nicodemus exactly what Satan is. All right. But in this particular instance, Satan is quoting Psalm 91, I think verses 11 and 12. Then Jesus says, I love his response. It also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Guess what? That's Deuteronomy 6:16. See, he stored his word, the Lord's word in his heart. He's got God's word in there. How does he combat the enemy? How does he attack every aspect of life? What does he always say? He's always referring to the Father and to the word of God. He is. He is the word that became flesh. John chapter 1. See, look at all these pieces. Everything centers around the word of God. So let's break this down. How do you keep your way pure? You guard it according to the word. That means you have the word there. You use the word. Every time you are in a situation where you won't be pure, you use the word. With all my heart, I've sought you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. Commandments, where do they come from? The word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Again, the word leads us to do the right thing because the word and the spirit work together. See, that Holy Spirit's leading you and the word is right there. He's giving you the word of God. And the more we learn it and the more that we trust in the Lord and let the Holy Spirit take over, they all work together, protect you, even from yourself, even from your flesh. Think of sin as in three ways. It's either the flesh, it's either the world and its ideologies, or it's coming from the enemy of our souls, the devil, or part of his kingdom, the demons, and all of those entities that follow Satan. Or it can be a combination of all three or two of them, all right? But those are the three basics. And guess what? What do we defend ourselves with? The word of God. What do we strike him with? The word of God. We offend him with the word of God. The word of God is the key here, all right? And we have to learn it. We have to embrace it. We have to let it sink into us. I'll just keep going here. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. See, you're blessing him by keeping his statutes, by knowing his word and then following it. With my lips, I proclaim all the judgments of your mouth. Where do we learn his judgments? From the word of God. I rejoice in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. That means his word. It's the testimony of the word of God. Okay? It's rich. It makes us rich. It makes us wealthier than a quadruple trillionaire. All right. All the money in the world does not equal the riches of heaven. Remember that. And his word attests to that. And knowing his word makes us wealthier than any wealth on earth that we could ever receive. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. So I'm meditating on his word and I'm regarding his ways because of it. I will delight in your statutes, and I will not forget your word. So I know the directions he wants me to walk. I know the difference between right and wrong. The word separates good and evil, right and wrong. We need the word so we don't get confused. We don't get off. We don't take a different road. We want to have impact and we want to walk in that. So let me frame it this way. All right. And I want you to think about this. What place does the word have in your life? And how much time does it occupy your action and your thinking? I should say thinking and action. How much? I mean, do you spend time in the word? How much? Are you giving it 10 minutes a day and watching TV for 2-3 hours and being entertained on social media for 5? Think about it. Think about how you allocate your time. How much time are you truly spending in the word? How much time are you meditating on the word? How much time are you memorizing the word? How much time do you spend in prayer? And a lot of times the best prayer is to meditate on the word and just recite his word back to him. God loves that. The Holy Spirit embraces all of that. So I tell you now, I say this loud and clear. Let the word reign supreme in your life. Let it take over. And I promise you, the end will be worth more than all this world has for you. Nothing in this world can do what the word of God can do. Let this be in your being. Let it lead you in your ways. I pray that God will be with every single one of you that are listening to this and everybody that's a part of our community. And I pray that hearts will be fertile with the seeds of the gospel and the truth of God's word, that they will grow deep roots and spring out the life, the eternal life that God has prepared for us, and that we can live it out here on earth in the way that he wants us to. May God bless every one of you. Now, just real quick, just a quick advertisement here. As you guys know, JesusSaid.tv. Check us out. This is obviously on JesusSaid.tv. You may be watching there now, or you listen to one of our auditory platforms on one of our podcast platforms. Or if you haven't had that chance, go check out JesusSaid.tv. You can download it on your Roku. You can also stream it online. Then also, you can check out tswrightspeaks.com, check out our books, check out our ministry, learn everything you can. You can donate to us. We appreciate gifts as well as, because our goal is right now to take and teach discipleship across this country and then eventually to let it filter into other countries as well, come across the United States. We have a plan for that now, and we are putting it in action. Also, you can message me if you have a question. Just go to the bottom of the website and fill it out. All right. Well, just as we always do and end every show, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin.